Welcome to Blind Cool Tech. Today's June 10th, 2005, show number 5. I'm your host, Larry Skukon. We've got a really interesting show for you today. We're going to be taking a tour of APH with Roberta Williams. And Roberta, your title is?
I'm Special Projects Coordinator and Public Relations Manager of Printing House.
Okay, great. And accompanying on us, with us on the tour is Roger Smith, one of our software engineers, and he'll be taking some pictures. And we'll leave it in your capable hands, Roberta.
All right. Why don't we go into the training room? That's where we usually start our tour.
Okay.
And we'll talk a little bit about the history of the printing house.
Great. And we're off the display area, moving into the training room now.
And we'll just, if you'll have a seat down in the front row, we'll talk to you a little bit about our past, and then we'll get on with exploring our present.
Great.
Printing House has been here in Louisville, Kentucky since 1858. And of course, what we do is make products for people who are blind and visually impaired. In 1858, we didn't even have this building. We were located in the basement of the Kentucky School for the Blind, which to this day is right next door. We made products then for the school and for a few other schools for the blind around the country, but nowhere near the number of products that we make today. In 1879, in recognition of the quality of products we were making, a law was passed called the Act to Promote the Education of the Blind. And that law designated us as the main manufacturer of educational materials for all the schools for the blind all over America. And it set aside some federal money. The act is in effect to this day, and there is a federal appropriation that comes to the printing house because of it. We are a private nonprofit. We're what they call a 501c3. So a lot of what we do is done with donations from the public, but beyond that, educational materials for students, whether they're in a special school for the blind or mainstreamed into a regular classroom, the money for those products comes from this federal appropriation. And we get that money indirectly. It kind of is set up so that institutions around the country can dip into those funds. They call it quota money. And they use those funds to purchase products from us, but we're the only ones they can use the funds for purchase with. So we have our clientele all over the United States, and people can get things from us by coming right here to Louisville, or of course accessing us by way of the website, which we'll talk a little bit more about later. While we're here in the orientation room, since we're going to go into the Braille production area, we'll talk a little bit about Braille and how it works. Since we have to make products for people with various levels of vision, from people who are totally blind and can't see anything and need Braille for their books, to someone who is what they call legally blind, the measurement 20 over 200 with correction in the better eye, or a field of vision narrower than 20 degrees, and who may need large print, and then you have people with vision impairments sort of in between. So you have to make a variety of products to suit those various level of vision needs. And one of the areas with which we work is Braille production, and we'll see that on the tour. As you may know, Braille was invented by Louis Braille, who was born in France in the year 1809. Louis went blind when he was between 3 and 4 years old, so he was blind most of his life. And it happens that France had the first school for the blind. It was started there in the year 1784, and the first books for blind people were made at that school in 1786. So Louis invented the Braille system that we use today, and he got his idea from a French army captain named Captain Barbier, who invented a code called night writing that was made or planned to be a code for the French army to use to pass messages to each other on the battlefield at night. Turned out that the code didn't work that well for the army and it wasn't used very much, but he took the idea to the school for the blind. Louis Braille took the idea, as a 15-year-old student by that time, and modified it into what we know as today Braille at Braille's code, as the Braille codes. Night writing had 12 dots arranged in different patterns. Braille has 6. So when you read a Braille book, the cell, the group of spaces that control what the words and the contractions mean, is based on a pattern of six dots arranged in different ways. So when we go into the Braille production area, we'll see some examples of that. Today, aside from making educational materials for students in schools, we make materials for the adult person who is blind or visually impaired. And it might be something like taking Reader's Digest and translating it into Braille, or putting it on cassette tape so that you can listen to it. Or there may be specific items like a financial planner or calendar that an adult person who has a vision impairment needs. So we make a range of products, those for very young children to those for the adult public. Let's go into the room where we have a few of our products, and then we'll go back to the Braille production area.
Okay.
On this side of the middle, right?
And Raj, if you don't mind, would you like describe the rooms that we're going into and stuff?
Sure.
I mean, while Roberta's not talking. So right now we're in a training room that's just got a lot of chairs set up in it. And
basically, yeah, that's what we have. A training room that has a, I would call it an erasure board or blackboard on one wall.
Okay.
That you can...
And we have a lot of meetings here internally at APH, and it's also used to gather the tours and give the presentation that Roberta just gave us. And it's right off the display room, which has, what, displays of our products?
We have a few of our products on display. We have hundreds and hundreds of products, so there's no room that could hold each and every one of our products.
All right.
So we have examples in this room of some of the classes of products. So let's walk across the aisle here in the display room.
All right.
One of the counters that's holding some of the products, and we'll talk about just a few of them. We talked about the fact that we have to make some products for people who are Braille readers, and some of the products would work for you whether you're needing to read Braille or whether you need large print. An example of that might be this tool called Quick Pick. It's an arithmetic drill. Practice your arithmetic problems. And it's made up of a small package that has large print, it has Braille, and then in a school situation where you may have a teacher with children who are maybe not blind or not have no vision impairment at all, and maybe one vision impaired child, the other students could use it as well. So this particular card that I'm holding, I think there are probably about 30 cards in this little pack, and it says 3 plus 8 equals what? It says that in large print, it says it in Braille. And the way you pick out the correct answer, there are four possible answers, 12, 5, 11, and 10, is there's a hole underneath the answer. There's a little wooden stick that you stick into the hole, and you pick out the correct answer by doing that, hence the name Quick Pick. So 3 plus 8 equals 11, perhaps, or maybe it equals, maybe I think it equals 5. If I stick the tool in the hole with the 5 in it, if I'm right, I'll be able to pull that card out. Oh, but I'm tugging on it. It's not going to come out.
I'll be done.
So I'm wrong. So let me try 11. It comes right out. So you could sit at your desk and practice your arithmetic, all these different problems that are on the cards, yourself and your friends, and you'll know your addition. We also have subtraction, division, and counting, the basic math skills.
Okay.
An example of a product for someone with low vision, this one doesn't have any Braille on it, this is the EasyTrack calendar and planner. As we know, there are a lot of planning books on the market, on the retail market these days, but as more of us get older, more of us need larger print anyway. And this has very large print. Print's about, perhaps 3/4 to an inch high, so it's very good size, large print. And it has a nice large grid, about 2 inches high, so if you wanted to write appointments in it, you could do that. The calendar grid itself has large numbers. It's organized so that the different days have really large places, including holidays, so you'll know what those are. It has note pages, and then it has a regular month calendar grid so that you can see that. So that's an example of something made exclusively in large print for a person who has low vision and needs large print. Another kind of tool that we have here is the picture maker. Picture maker is what they call an orientation and mobility tool. And it's used to make a quick map for someone who has a vision impairment. It is made up of this Velcro, and it's about 16 inches long by about 12 inches high. It's all Velcro, and then there are little pieces of plastic that make up different shapes. If I wanted to help a worker at the printing house understand what was in this room, I could diagram this room. It's a way of making a quick map.
You know what? They use that at the Seeing Eye, too, that very product, when they're trying to show the students the routes when we're learning with our dogs. They actually have this this product there, and they can make the map right there on the spot with it.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah.
So you might want to add that to your tour, too.
Because I don't know where it's used in a real practice. I know we use it with Gary. If he's going to go some new place, we sometimes make a little quick map.
Yeah.
But that's good to know as well.
Okay.
So some of the tools work fine, like this one for helping someone. It also could be used by a child because there are all these different shapes, circles and squares and triangles. If you have a young child that's creative, they could actually make a little picture with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be fun. And since it's Velcro, you just pull the pictures off and it's like erasing it. Make something new with
it. Like an Etch-a-Sketch.
Exactly. Other departments we have here, we've talked about large print, we've talked about Braille. We do have an accessible test department. And the purpose of that is to take regular tests like the SATs and change them to Braille, for instance, so that if you have a visually impaired person, it's a Braille reader, and needs to take that test to get into college, they'll be able to do that. So we have accessible test department. We have another test here that wasn't made an accessible test department, but it's called ISET. And it's actually a series of tests that was designed here at the printing house for young children below preschool level, or children with multiple impairments. And it's a way of assessing children with low vision to see what the level of vision is and develop a special program to maximize that child's available vision. So ISAVE is another example of a test. We have the other, here's something new. It's called WebChase. And WebChase is a game that anyone could find fun. And it's got four spiders, and there's a great big spider web. The four spiders it's a board game. So you've got one spider in the corner of each corner of the board, and each spider has a different pattern on his abdomen, so someone simply using their fingers to understand this game would know what the spider was. And then there are bugs on the web. There are flies, and there are butterflies, and there are grasshoppers, and there are dice. So you roll your dice, and if you get a 3, it says that I can move my spider 3 places on the web, and I get to eat the bugs that are on those spaces on the web. And that's the goal of the game. Eat as many bugs as you can, and for each bug, there's a different value, a point value. So you're accumulating point values. So this game, because it also has bright colors, could be enjoyed by someone with low vision. And because it's fun, someone with no vision impairment could play it and enjoy it, too.
And it sounds like the pieces are, Velcroed on there?
They are Velcroed. They will stick to the web with Velcro. And you can feel the pieces of the web. They're raised, so they're tactile graphics. The bugs themselves are printed in bright colors, but they're on different shapes. So the grasshopper is on a square.
Okay.
The fly is on a star. And the butterfly is on a round piece, so someone, again, totally blind would know that from the shapes.
Okay.
They have an alternate way of playing it with shapes that are all round, but they have different textures. So you could use those instead of the bugs if you prefer. Now, once you get the bug, you put it aside. It would be easy to knock those off the table or lose them, so we have what they call a lunch box. And our lunch tray, not a box. Our lunch tray is made of Velcro also. So we take the bug that has Velcro on the back of it, stick it to our tray, and accumulate our bugs on the tray, and at the end of the game, we're going to count up the quantities. There are different variations of playing this game, but teachers can use it in the classroom. It certainly would be good for learning counting and analytical skills and other. So it's fun, but it's not just fun. It's educational.
Yeah, it's making me hungry, too.
It could be purchased with those federal quota monies if a teacher was using it in a school situation.
Okay.
So another department, now the web chase is something we call educational aid. So in terms of thinking of our departments, you've got Braille, you've got large print, accessible test. Educational aids is going to be items like the web chase, or it might be a tactile map or a globe or another item like that, just sort of a general phrase for educational materials. But we also have a department of technology, and they develop software and other technology-oriented tools. I've got several examples here on the counter. One is talking word puzzles. One is the verbal view of Windows XP, because everybody, I guess, is dying to learn XP, and Talking Typer, because everybody needs to type. We have set up on our computer a game called Math Flash.
Which -6.
And it has a little a mentor. In this case, the one is Robbie the robot. But we could change our mentor and make it another creature. Let's make it Dot. There are five of them to select from. Dot the guide dog can also be the mentor. And the mentor simply hops around there and does interesting things, like the dog turns somersaults sometimes, but he also will encourage you when you have the correct, or discourage you if you have the incorrect answer. So the problem up here is 8 minus 6, and the dog is just kind of wagging his tail there,
eight
waiting,
minus
and he's going to tell me. Okay, 8 minus 6 must equal 9.
9.
Rats.
I guess not. Let's try again.
2. For sure.
I need to get out a little prize, a little award for me. So that's an example of Math Flash, and it's the one I've got on here is just the demonstration one. One of the things to remember is that you can access every product at American Printing House from simply going to our website, which is www.eph.org. You can also download
simulated braille display.
You can also download samples of a number of the technology products, and that's the downloaded sample is what I had on here. So you can try those things out before you decide to buy them. Aside from that, on the website, if you're interested in products, I'm going to the initial web page. Information about our annual meeting is on here. Information about different departments, research and development. Information about our museum is under perspectives.
OTF Museum, Link Lewis, Link Shop, Visited Link Museum, Link Advisory.
And it is speech accessible. And it says about the APH Museum. And if you're not here in Louisville and you want to check out the museum on the web, you will have information about traveling exhibits we have from the museum, about the museum's collections, educational materials for students that teachers might use in schools. We also have on here, if you're interested in Braille writers, the collection of Braille writers has been put on the museum's component of the website. If you go down a little further on the page, you will find information about the Hall of Fame, and we have an art competition for blind and visually impaired artists, which is also on this part of the website. So if you like art, you might want to go to that part.
Great.
Okay, this is the display room. It's kind of like the transitional part of the building between the office, the front office, and the production area. It's a very large room with a lot of products displayed throughout.
And I guess
and it has a gift shop here. You actually could purchase a few things over there at the gift shop. If you have some T-shirts with the Braille alphabet on the back, and we have art cards and an art calendar. Some of the art is made into calendars and cards and some Braille jewelry. Also, hanging in the corner, forgot to mention him. I mentioned we have an art competition, but hanging in the corner about 10 feet long and perhaps 5 feet wide and maybe 3 or 4 feet deep is a dragon made out of handmade paper. There are like a Japanese kite almost, where you have concentric circles, one in front of the other. He's hanging up about 6 or 7 feet in the air, and he was made by a group of children from the Arkansas School for the Blind. He's bright colors, he's yellows and greens and he's pinks, and he's altogether fine. When we have this art competition, we do put it on the website, but we also occasionally purchase pieces, and they're part of the APH collection of art by visually impaired artists.
Excellent. I did not know that.
Okay.
Well, Larry, I will say that you haven't been on the tour. Before we renovated this room, the dragon was lower, and when we had visually impaired people on the tour, we let them touch it, because
they're
probably tall enough to touch it now. But you could reach up before, like I think last time NFB was here, and you could touch his legs and his feet.
Okay.
But he had to be higher because they put some chairs under.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't even know he was in here.
He's over there. He's over by the windows, the windows and the
And we're now walking back into the production area, the plant. You can probably hear the difference in the echoes of the acoustics here. Uh-oh, they're going to be gone, aren't they?
Well, not only that, they're probably going to start shutting down machines because it's 11:15.
Ah.
I I guess we can go see.
Yeah, and if it doesn't work out, we can reschedule.
Since you'll be able to. This is electronic. You can put things together.
And I sure can.
Isn't that wonderful?
And we live here, so we're always available.
Now, can you hear me all right? Even though I have a little microphone on I use, but what? Probably it's better not to.
Let's try the microphone, okay. See what all it right. sounds like, because it is kind of noisy back
like.
Here.
I was going to say, here's what it sounds like with the microphone. What do you think about this microphone?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that.
Do the microphone, yeah. Okay. We're standing in front of a counter, and this counter has examples of tactile graphics. Because if we're going to make a book with Braille in it, some of the books are going to require pictures, and you have to make them for the Braille reader so that they can be accessed with the fingertips. So, tactile graphics can be made several ways. One of the ways is by making it with this machine that's behind me. The machine looks a lot like a big sewing machine. It has a foot like a sewing machine has, and it even has a pedal. But it's not a sewing machine. Instead, it uses tools that emboss metal plates. The tools look like great big thick needles, and they have different kinds of ends on them. Some are round, some are square, and they're two together in pairs. Because when they put them on the machine, they put one in the place where on a sewing machine you'd have a needle, and one goes down beneath the bottom, underneath where the foot would be on a sewing machine. So you've got one tool coming down from the top, one coming up from the bottom. They bounce up and down, and they almost touch each other. What you put in the middle is a metal plate that's about, 8 inches by 11 inches, and you take a drawing and glue it to the surface of the metal plate. You put the plate underneath the metal tool, or underneath the top tool. So you got this flat metal plate with a drawing on it, and it's between the two tools. The tools are beating up and down on the plate, and the operator moves the plate by hand so that the lines or the tool traces around the lines on the drawing. The tool hits hard enough to make marks on the plate, so that when you're finished, you have this plate with an upper surface. Actually, the plate has two surfaces, upper and lower, and the tool has raised the surface of the plate to make pictures and textures that you can feel. Then what they do with this metal plate is they put it on a printing press and put a piece of paper between the parts of the plate, and the pressure of the press will emboss the paper so that it has the same picture that the metal plate had on it.
Okay.
That's one method of making tactile graphics. We have another method of making tactile graphics I can show here and talk about. Called vacuum forming, sometimes I say thermoforming, and it's made the pictures made with the metal plate on the machine that I didn't tell you the name of. The machine's called the Pearl machine. It's kind of interesting. The metal plate will be making a tactile graphic on paper, on Braille paper. But if you want to make a book and you want to make plastic pictures in it, you use a thermoform machine. We have a model shop, and they create a mold, and the mold might be shaped by, like a leaf or some other shape. And what they do is take a thin piece of plastic and put it over the mold and put it into the vacuum forming machine. There is heat associated with the vacuum form machine. It heats the plastic just enough for the plastic to take the shape of the mold that's underneath the plastic. The vacuum part of it is that the vacuum kind of sucks the plastic down over the mold. Then they take that form out, and they can keep making copies from it. As long as you have the mold there, you might make 100, 200 copies, letting you make many copies. So you can have pictures on Braille paper, you know, pictures on plastic. It just depends on the project, what you're doing. We have other methods using a computer of making tactile graphics as well. So there's several ways we make pictures to put in the books so that you have tactile pictures with your Braille words.
And we're always looking for new ways to make tactile graphics too.
Absolutely. Because you want to experiment, because I said earlier, you have to make products that suit a variety of vision levels. You also have a variety of needs. Could be textbooks, could be Reader's Digest in Braille. It could be that you need it very, very quickly, and that's going to make a difference in how you produce it. It could be that you have several months. Maybe you'll do it a different way. It could be it needs to last for years. That will make a bearing on it, too. Or maybe it only needs to last for a few weeks, say, like Reader's Digest magazine. So those things all go into deciding how to make it. On the other hand, let's say we're going to make a metal plate and we're going to put pure Braille words on it, like this one called The Pillow Friend. Magazines like Reader's Digest are made this way, and the plate's the same size. It's about 11 inches in diameter by about 8 inches wide, and they use a computer to put the Braille information on the metal plate. We have certified transcriptionists who take regular English and change it to Braille English in the computer using a software program called Duxbury, then save it to disk. First thing they'll do is make a single paper copy of their translation, and then they proofread it to make sure it's correct. So we'll go into the proofreading room later. If it is correct, they take the computer disk, put it in a machine called the PED machine, the plate embossing device machine, and they will then stamp out the metal plate with that PED machine. Then they put it on a printing press if they're going to make good quantities. The sound you heard in the background there that sounded like typing actually was typing. Remember those graphics, those pictures I was talking about that you made with the on the metal plate? If you want to make only a few Braille dots, you actually can put the piece of metal in a machine that's like a small Braille writer, except it's bigger. It's called a stereotype. And you can type directly on the metal. So that was what you heard on that with that machine.
Okay.
So again, there are various ways to get this Braille information off your metal plate.
Okay, this is a large open area that has various machines throughout. It has racks for the finished product. Behind us is an office area where the proofreaders are. Right now, it is full of machinery that will emboss Braille, all kinds of machines.